So welcome to the house of the Lord. You can turn, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew 16, and we're going to start at verse 13. So Matthew 16, 13 is where we're going. This morning, let's look into our personal testimony. It was so interesting to see a couple of our songs that we sang this morning in worship were about that, about our testimony, what we know, what we say, what we do for Jesus, right? That's what our testimony should be about. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Many, if not most, of those who claim to be born again, and I don't doubt it if they claim it, okay, praise God. They struggle with the command of the Lord to go and share. Go and share. What are you supposed to go and share? You're supposed to go and share His gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ, that He has given Himself in place of us on the cross, taking away our sin, paying the penalty for our sin. Trusting in that, we are saved for eternity. We don't have to worry about going to the cross if we trust in the Lord. And so we're going to talk about that this morning, our testimony. So we're in Matthew 16 and starting at verse 13, it says this. But before we read, let's ask the Lord to be in what we're doing. Father, we're so thankful that we have the word You gave us through Your Holy Spirit, that testifies to what Your Son Jesus did for us. Lord, we know Your Word is true. We know it can be trusted. We can have faith in it. We learn from it to call on You at every moment of need, Lord, for the challenges are many in this life, and we need You. We need Your Holy Spirit to guide us and take us through the wilderness, Lord, that we can find our way to You and end up rejoicing in Your kingdom, rejoicing with You and all the saints that are trusting in You. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for Your salvation. Help us to understand it, learn to love You and serve You more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say I am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven." He was hearing the Spirit of the Lord give him the truth. Amen? Amen? The question now is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? What is your testimony about Jesus? How would you testify to who He is in your life? Why would you testify? Have you ever planned your testimony? Have you ever thought about it? Maybe written down some notes and thought about a plan to share? Can you describe your relationship with Jesus Christ? These are things we need to think about, because we are called on in Scripture to be ready, ready to give an answer to why we believe in Jesus and why we try to live and glorify Him. Amen? The testimony about Jesus we're talking about here is more than just talk. It's more than talk. We're talking about a lifestyle, living for Jesus. You've probably heard that song before, living for Jesus. We need to live for Jesus. And many of you are doing that. You're to be congratulated for your efforts and for turning to the Lord all the time when you need His help. Amen? So we're talking about a lifestyle and words. A lifestyle and words that openly acknowledge a personal experience of following Jesus. Not just knowing Him, but following Him, imitating Him, doing what He might do in a challenging moment. That is what we should be doing. Following Jesus as Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who He is. Amen? Amen. It would be about how a believer follows Jesus in their life from day to day. How a believer's testimony about a relationship with Jesus Christ must be public. You're sharing at the command of our Lord. Go and tell is what He said. And He even gave you the topic. Go and tell them the good news that the Messiah, your Savior, has come. So you don't even have to worry about exactly what to say, but you do want to make it personal so that it appears you have that relationship. And so you're to go and tell others about how a believer found and now follows Jesus as Lord. As Lord. You see, He's your Savior for sure. But He's now Lord. He should be Lord of your life. What does that mean? Lord of my life. Well, maybe we'll find out. For Christians, our salvation experience should be evidence to other people that there has been a change in our life and that Jesus is alive in us and the Holy Spirit is working through us, guiding us. Guiding us to do what? What are the two commands we're supposed to be following according to Jesus? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Love Him with everything we are and everything we have. It's all on the altar for Him. So when He calls, you answer, "Yes, Lord, here I am with You, willing to give You what You desire from me." Amen? Amen. So you're willing to show that there's been a change in your life, and you're now serving a risen Savior. Yes, we testify by our words, but also by our actions. It's a two-part story, isn't it? And if your words don't match your walk, then people are going to question. Are you sure? Are you sure? Show them you're sure. Make your words and your walk align and match each other. Amen? To give testimony, to testify of a relationship with the Lord, a believer should tell of how that relationship started. How did it begin? How were you drawn in? So that should be part of it. How the Lord changed them. What happened in your life that's different? And why is that? How did you know the difference? How did you find out and follow Him? And how they followed the Holy Spirit asking for Christ to save them. Where did you get that idea? I need to be saved. I need Jesus. Where did that come from? Can be different as there are differences in us. And it's all okay. There are many roads to Jesus, but there's only one road to glory, and that road is Jesus. He said himself, I am the way. I'm not a way. I am the one and only way to go to the Father and be in glory. Amen?
Amen.
That's an essential of your faith. You must believe that and trust Jesus. Otherwise, you're going to be lost. And you don't want to be lost. I know you don't want to be lost because you're here. You're seeking the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so, a believer's testimony is to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of how they came to know Jesus. That's your testimony. You can share it freely. No one can really dispute it. This is what happened. This is how I know Jesus. This is how I got saved. This is how I have a relationship with Him. This is my story. And it's going to end up in glory. Amen? Yes, amen. So we're telling the truth. Isn't that what the apostles of the Lord wrote in the Scriptures? They wrote about their experiences with the Lord. And they told the truth. Do you think Peter was happy when he had the right in the Scriptures that he denied the Lord three times and deserted Him in the midst of what he was going through? You think Peter was proud of that? No. You see, everybody has ups and downs with the Lord. He expects that. He knows that. He knows us. He knows we're human. He loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. Amen?
Amen.
So the apostles gave us the truth, good and not so good. Why? For our encouragement. We can see they weren't perfect. Far from it. But what did they do that was right? They came back. And they came back. And they came back and they trusted the Lord and trusted the Lord and trusted Him until they went on to glory. And that's where they ended up. Amen? They gave us the truth, good and not so good, for our encouragement. If our lives are a testimony for Jesus, then they should be reflections of the truth of Christ. We should tell the truth and follow in His steps. Follow Jesus. Sometimes that'll be very joyous. Sometimes it'll be very challenging. And you'll have everything in between. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus and follow Him, what have you got to look forward to? Glory, glory, glory. Amen?
Amen.
That's where you're going to end up. Keep that in mind, all right? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, we are told how the apostles gave their testimony by their own words. And with great power, here it is, I'm quoting it, and with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You see, that's the story. Everybody dies, don't they? We all know we're coming to that end. How many come back to life and show themselves again after the funeral? You know anybody?
Zero
except for one. Yes, the sinless Savior that saves us. Amen? The apostles testifying of the resurrection were telling others what they had seen with their own eyes, what they had heard with their own ears, and touched with their own hands. They gave their personal eyewitness account about Jesus Christ and His death. That's what they were supposed to do. And when they did that, what happened? Well, the Holy Spirit could work through them and show that it was all true and keep them going as long as their testimony was true. They kept them going, the Holy Spirit. A believer's testimony is to tell the truth. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need to do. In the same way, believers today are commanded to tell others of what they have witnessed. What happened when you believed? What have you seen happen when others confessed Christ? You can talk about those things. Don't let the world beat you back and say, oh, you can't talk about that here. That's not allowed. Find a way. Find a way. The Lord will help you. Find a way. Believers today haven't had a face-to-face experience with Jesus as the apostles did. We didn't get to experience that, did we? But our conversion experience is no less genuine. We have a story to tell. Will we tell it? When prompted by the Holy Spirit, will we share it? It's not always about when we want to share it. It's about when the Holy Spirit says, this is a good time. You need to speak up. And so you gather yourself and you speak up. You trust the Spirit to guide you and you follow Him, right? Darlene, we're sitting on the dais up here before we're getting ready. And actually, I wanted to start this morning by singing this song, The Lord Knows the Way Through the Wilderness. All we have to do is what?
Follow.
That's right. But it's okay, Jim. You beat me to the punch. I was looking up the words to the whole thing. I wanted to get the whole verse in there. But that is what we're to do. Give our story, our evidence about what happened in our life. Believers should eagerly share with boldness. Yes, boldness and humility. Don't be braggadocious. Show the love. The change that has taken place in our hearts. No, we're not made perfect. The Savior knows that, and He listens to us when we confess. And what happens when you confess your sins? You are cleansed of your sin and made righteous. That's what the Lord says. That's what the Scripture says. Do it. Follow the Lord. Now I want you to turn to the book of Revelation. Yeah, way in the back of the Bible. Book of Revelation. And go to chapter 12. Chapter 12. In verse 7, Revelation 12:7. Now, I'm going to tell you some things you probably know. I probably already said some things you already know, but I'm going to say a few more. So, Satan is active in the world right now. You believe that? Well, that's what the Scripture says. Today, he is out there actively seeing what he can kill, steal, and destroy. Now, you probably knew that. But believers don't think about or dwell on the fact very much that he's active. Because we'd rather dwell on the positive, wouldn't we? We want to think about Jesus and being with him, right? But we have to consider that we have an enemy that we have to deal with. Now, we need to understand that Satan is going to be active until Christ casts him into the lake of fire, and he'll be there for eternity after that, right? That's his end. You know that Satan right now has access to God in heaven. Yes, he appears before God's throne. He is a spirit being, and he goes before God. Why is he going there? He complains about us, the children of God, how bad we are, how we're still sinning and thumbing our noses at Jesus. That's what he's up there doing. He's making us look bad. But our Savior knows us. He already knows all that. But he knows we've been cleansed by his blood, and we don't have to worry about it, and he doesn't either, do we? We're all part of his bride, and we're going to be hit with him one day. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, we are told Satan is cast out of heaven. He's going to be thrown out of heaven. He's not going to be able to go there anymore. Here's the story right out of Scripture, starting in verse 7 of chapter 12, Revelation. It says this, "And war broke out in heaven." Can you imagine war in heaven? Now, you know there's three levels to heaven, right? Earth's atmosphere. I'll call it space. It's the second level. And then God's heaven, where God lives. Satan is active in our atmosphere. Hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis. He has a part in all that, right? Well, I know people want to shake their fist at God. But it's not God. It's Satan making us remember that he's got some time here on earth. So he's in that part. And then in spirit form, he's in space. Yes, there's things going on in space. We can't see it, but it's there happening. Angels are warring with each other. You can read about it in Scripture. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. And so things are going on there. And that's the place where we're talking about war broke out. Not in God's throne room, but in the space part of heaven and the earth part of heaven. Amen? Are you with me? So, a lot of theologians think that this could be a reaction. What set Satan off to start this war? Maybe it was because all the saints of God passed right through his territory at the rapture, and he couldn't do a thing about it. Maybe that set him off. Don't know, but it's a possibility. Michael and his angels, I'm going back to the scripture, Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. That's another name for Satan. And the dragon and his angels, you knew he had angels, right? We call them demons. His angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. That's good news. Satan doesn't win. Listen, Satan never wins when you call on Jesus and follow the Holy Spirit. You want victory in life? That's what you have to do. Call on Jesus and follow the Holy Spirit. Am I telling you the truth? Amen. All right then. I like that when I get an amen. That's good. All right? So what this is saying is God prevailed and Satan and his demons were bound to earth. They were thrown out of heaven. Where did they go? Earth. That's where they went. Not yet. See, we're talking future here. Future prophecy. So God prevailed. Satan and his demons were bound to the earth. Listen to verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth. Yes, he came down here among humanity. He was cast to the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. They came to earth too. Some are here now. He visits every now and then. But when this happens, this is where he will have access and only here. We're talking about the future here, right? Do you believe God's word? Is God's word true? Does God ever lie to us in his word? No. So is this going to happen in the future? God said it. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. God said it. It's going to happen. Amen? So, that's coming. That is the beginning of the tribulation. Yes, it's in the future. Tribulation's coming. When does that start? It starts with the rapture. When the church of God goes out of here, the Holy Spirit goes. There's nothing holding the enemy back. And that's when the tribulation is going to begin. And it's going to begin primarily at the beginning with Gentile humanity, not the Jews. Why not? Because Satan has made a deal. He's not going to attack them. There's going to be 3.5 years of peace. That peace is not with the whole world. It's with the Jews. Everybody else is subject to attack. And so we have to look forward to that. We have to prepare for that. How do you prepare for that? You share your testimony. Because you want other people that don't go with the church to know what's going to happen so they can make a decision. Yes, people are going to have to make a decision during the tribulation. They're going to have to decide if they're going to believe and trust Jesus or if they're just going to give in to Satan and take the mark and do what he says. That's the two choices. Die for Jesus or live for Satan. And that life is going to be short-lived because the tribulation only lasts 7 years. So anybody that accepts what Satan has to offer, they're going to be dead in 7 years. Amen? So where does that leave us? Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice. We're in Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. Now it's been here in limited form for many years. But Christ hasn't taken control of earth. He's giving Satan his freedom to do things at this point. We're subject to that. But there's going to come a time where Satan's time will end and God will take over fully, right? And so that verse, verse 10, is describing the beginning of Satan's final days. Yes, his final days. Not the final days, but final days. And it says this, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. He's been cast down from access to God's throne. He can't go there anymore and complain about us. Amen. And how we don't do what God says even though He died for us. Yeah, that's true. Sorry. And so that's the beginning of the end of Satan's power and rule. He's going to be losing his power. And so what is he doing in the tribulation? One last gasp at seizing the kingdom. Somebody ought to tell him, it doesn't work. You're a loser. And you're always going to be a loser. He doesn't accept that message, though, does he? Then in verse 11, it says this. Oh, here's the good news. Not for us. We're not there going through this. It's good news for those who know about Jesus and His shed blood and the power of His Holy Spirit. This is good news for them because they missed the boat. They didn't accept Jesus when He was here. They said, no, I'm okay on my own. I can take care of myself. No problem. They didn't understand the spiritual side of life. And now they're experiencing that in the tribulation. So verse 11 says this, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. They did not love their lives to the death. Who are the they it's talking about. And they overcame him. Who are they? It's not the church. Church is gone. Church is up there in glory. So it's not the church. They are humans who choose to be saved by Christ during the tribulation. Yes, there will be tribulation saints. They'll accept Jesus. They'll accept His work for them, His shed blood, His bruised, battered body. They'll get saved during that time. They are humans who choose to be saved by Christ. And they will be saved. But they'll die in the process. They'll physically die in the process. That's what it says. They did not love their lives to the death. They were willing to give their life. Now that's what they have to do. They have to give their life for their testimony. I trust Jesus and I'm willing to die. And indeed they do. That's how they find victory, the same way we do. We claim the blood of Jesus. That's how we get victory. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we're saved and the giving of His body. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
We must come through Jesus Christ if we want to access God Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
So that's how they find victory, just like we did. We trust His sacrificed body and shed blood that He gave on the cross. These, being born again, suffered physical death. We didn't have to do that. We're still living. We're still working for the Lord. We are working for the Lord, aren't we? Giving our testimony. That's what we should be doing. You're giving testimony this morning by being here in the church. You're showing other people you should be in church. They go by, they see all those cars. What are they thinking? Look at those idiots, they're all in church. We're out here having a good time. They don't realize what's coming. How are they going to know? You. You have the word of life. Don't go out there talking about death. They'll just shut you right down. Talk about life. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because Scripture says they overcame by the word of their testimony. What is their testimony? Well, it's the same testimony you have. Jesus is the Son of God who died to take away my sin. That's our testimony. That's our story. That's what saves us. Trusting and faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do? We believe, we accept it by faith, prompted by the Holy Spirit. And what does the Lord do when we say that? He takes away our sin. He takes away our sin. And He lets us know, He assures us that we will be with Him one day. You believe? You trust? You have faith? Share it. Share your testimony. Otherwise, how will they know? How will they know? Oh, you live a good life. You're not out there killing people and robbing banks and all that bad stuff. But if you're not opening your mouth to tell why you're not doing all that, how are they going to know? How are they going to know? Oh, I know the Holy Spirit's working on them. He hasn't given up on them. He's still trying to love them towards Jesus. But you can help with that. You can help. Lend your voice. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Lend your voice and let them hear it. Amen? Verse 12 says, Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. That's talking about the tribulation time. Satan's been kicked out of heaven. He's down here now, and he's grabbing all the gusto he can grab, because he's that way. He's that way. Amen? This is describing the end of Satan's access and the beginning of his downfall, his final downfall. Verse 12:11, back to verse 11 says, and they overcame him. They overcame Satan. The people on earth overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I trust Jesus. He died for me. And go ahead and kill me if that's what it takes. Because as soon as I die here, I'll be opening my eyes there. Yes, that's the message. Give it up here and you'll have it all there. Oh, it's hard to see, isn't it? Because it's spirit. It's spirit. That's why you have to be born again. Because unless you're born again, you're not going to have the Holy Spirit to guide you into understanding all this stuff. Jesus said, you must be born again. There's no wiggle room there. You can be as smart as Einstein, but if you're not born again, you're not getting into heaven. Be born again. Amen. And it says that they did not love their lives to the death. Notice the word of testimony. The word of their testimony. Meaning these triumphant tribulation saints spoke verbally about Jesus Christ. Oh, you talk about not being popular? It's a sentence of death then. Now you might say something about Jesus and they might throw you out, but you'll live to testify again, right? Because that's what you'll do. They're not going to worry about their fear of physical death, because they'll be understanding there's something more at stake. Eternity with Jesus. That's what's at stake. Some believe that Christians ought not verbalize their testimony. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Just live a good life. Follow the Lord. Don't testify. Some believe that. But it's not an either-or proposition. We don't get that choice. We must do both. We must live it and speak it. Verbalize it. Neither one is more important than the other. They both work together. They both work together. You have to walk the walk and talk the talk. Amen. Got to do both.
Yeah.
God has chosen hearing the word as the means of producing faith. Yes, hearing the word. People need to hear us talk about following Jesus. They need to hear it. Like in Romans 10:17, says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what are you going to talk about when you want to testify about Jesus? The word of God. There's your script. You don't even have to copy it down. The Lord gives it to you in written form. Just take it with you. You can carry it with you on your cell phone. You got it right there. Technology is a wonderful thing if you use it in a wonderful way.
Amen.
That's the if. See, we're always the if. That's what humanity is. We're the if. If we choose to follow Jesus. If we choose to talk about Him. if we'll go out and speak on his behalf. We are the if. Speak about him. John 4:39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified. She had been with Jesus. And what did she say about him? He told me all that I ever did. He knew my whole life. And what did he do? He forgave her. He forgave her and said, go and sin no more. How is she going to go and sin no more? Holy Spirit's going to go with her. Oh, I know, he hadn't been given yet. Don't be technical. Accept salvation when it comes. Amen?
Amen?
So she testified to that. A life dedicated to Christ is a powerful testimony.
Amen.
It's a powerful testimony when people know you and know that you stand for the Lord.
Amen.
Suddenly they don't want to bother you with a lot of frivolous questions. The silly stuff, you know. They don't want to bother you with any questions at all. That's why you have to testify. You have to get the conversation going. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Paul describes this life. He says, we, speaking of himself and his entourage, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. We're there to share the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The good news of Jesus Christ. He is the peace. Share Him. Oh, they're going to tell you, be quiet. Not so kindly as that either. That's okay. You'll get your jab in, and somebody else will come along, and they'll get a jab in. And if enough jabs go in there, pretty soon that person's going to start scratching their head, and, you know, it might be something about this thing about Jesus. Maybe I'll look into that. That's how it happens. When our actions of godly living match the words coming from our lips, the grace of God is released.
Amen.
It's released for the salvation it can bring. Then you're speaking God's language. Amen. Ryan, would you come, please? Remember Matthew 22:37-38? Let me refresh your memory. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. You know what that's really saying? Get saved. Get saved. Put yourself totally aside. Put all of that. Be humble and get saved. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what it's really saying? Help them get saved. You get saved and then help your neighbors get saved. You can't do it. You can't save them, but you can help them. You can share the Word of God. You can invite them to church. You can invite them to the Christian movies we show. You can invite them to Bible study. You can invite them to anything at all that has to do with Jesus to testify to them that He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. You must be born again. So whatever you have to do, get them there to hear the message, right? A Christian who lives their life and testifies of God's saving grace is a living sacrifice to God. That's what a living sacrifice does. It shares the good news of the gospel so others can be saved also, right? Do you think the Lord is happy with that? That's the mission He gave us. Follow the orders. When a believer shares what Jesus has done in their life, they are loving God and others above themselves. Yes, you're putting yourself aside. You're taking the chance. You are going to accept whatever comes after that. Ridicule, taunting, maybe even some physical harshness. But you're going to testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting Him above you. Isn't that what believers should be doing? Putting the Lord first. Love God and others. Be ready always to testify of the saving grace and goodness of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You take the self-exam for yourself. I can't take it for you. You have to take your own test and ask yourself, are you really sharing the good news? Testify of the saving grace and goodness of Christ, and you will increasingly reflect the life-giving power and grace of Christ. All of you don't know Him, but there used to be a man here. He's gone on to heaven now. David Flowers. That guy would share Jesus with anybody, anywhere, anytime. He was a biker, right? He would pull up to a stoplight and there would be a car next to him. He'd do this, you know, roll your window down. He'd roll their window down. He'd strike up a conversation and right away he would get to Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Savior? Are you walking with the Lord? Has anybody told you about His goodness? Everywhere you went, you knew David Flowers was going to be out front testifying for the Lord.
Amen.
That's the way we all should be. We have the best news the world ever got. Why are we sitting on it? Let's share it. Let's share it, amen. Sharing the life-giving power and grace of Christ in a dark and dismal world. That's the way it is out there. You see a lot of love out there in the world? You are the love.
Amen.
You are the love. You're the one to share it. If you share it, people might get saved. They might get saved. Are you willing? Are you willing to share it? Are you willing to give your testimony? Just tell them how you got saved. Tell them how wonderful it is to know where you're going and not have to worry about the enemy anymore. Tell them. Let's go to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to humble ourselves and be obedient to You, to give Your message, our testimony about what You've done in our life, and about how we can depend on You for love and mercy and strength. All those things You do through Your Holy Spirit for us. Yes, You commanded Him to live in us and lead us. Empower us to live a life pleasing to You. We need You, Holy Spirit. We need You moment by moment to help us live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us make the commitment. Make the commitment to share the love and the life that's in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That He might be honored, He might be glorified, and that souls would come to Him. Help us, Lord, to put ourselves to the side and love You more, love You more, love You enough to talk about You and give our testimony. Help us, Lord Jesus. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.